I just know that that the enemy didn't want me to speak this word today because of the grief that's happened during the week in many respects, and right up to the last minute of my two-month-old printer pulling 16 sheets through at the same time and wrecked it completely last night, and getting Phil to Gmail them to me and print them out for me this morning. So it's, but it has been a real difficult week. And sometimes you know in your heart, like when something's burning in your heart to share, how everything's to come against what you want to say. But I just really feel this is a timely message. It's a message that God's laid on my heart, and I just really want to just share this with you. And it really, it came about from the school of the Word, and we read through Matthew. And we're dealing with the whole gospel of Matthew. And as we read through Matthew, the word kingdom comes up so many times. And it got me thinking about kingdom and what is kingdom about, and where do we fit into the kingdom, you know. And it really opened up a whole sort of, you know, I could probably do a series from 2 or 3 months on just kingdom. But it's just an amazing... an amazing, amazing word. I haven't got a specific reading as such, but I suppose I have. Let's Acts 10. I'm just going to read a few verses from Acts 10, maybe, to just set the scene, as it were. I've lost Acts. I say they're there somewhere. Please. And this is just the sort of story of what happened when Peter went into Cornelius the centurion's house, and God has showed him that all things were clean, all things, like, you know, that whether they can be Jew or Gentile, they're ready for the word, sort of thing. Go and, you know, go to Cornelius's house, and how Cornelius had got all his friends together, all of these Gentiles together. But the word was for them, to all who would listen and receive. And this is what it says. And verse 34 of Acts 10, it says, then Peter, to this crowd of Gentiles, maybe believers in some sort of way, but perhaps not fully understanding the enormity of what Jesus did on Calvary. So, and Peter began to speak, verse 34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. In other words, the one who follows him and believes in him. You know, we make up these little prayers to come to Jesus, but Jesus never used a prayer when he called somebody to himself. He just said, follow me. He never said, say this prayer. And we do it as church, we do all these things, and we set these little things up, and we say this prayer after me. You know, but Jesus never asked anybody to say a prayer after him. He just said, follow me. And following him, it meant that we leave everything behind and we follow him to a new life. And it's so important, you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying a prayer. Don't get me wrong this morning. But Jesus never asked anybody to say a little prayer. He says, follow me. He says to the fishermen, follow me. He says to people like Lazarus, follow me. Whether they're tax collectors or fishermen, Pharisees, Jews or Gentiles, he says, follow me. And here's Peter reiterate this message, but accepts from every nation the one, whatever your background, wherever you're from, who will fear him. And we all know that the word fear doesn't mean fear as we know it. It means love and attribute all of who he is. Love him. All of us who love him and receive him and does what is right. So when you follow him, you change, your life changes, and we go a different way, and we do then what is right. We try to do what is right. We get it wrong, I know, but we try. Our heart's desire is to do things right. And this is what he's saying, these people. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose up from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge over the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. I'm going to finish there. And my message this morning is about living kingdom lives. You know, God calls us to live kingdom lives. What's a kingdom life? It's living a life as if he was here with me every moment of every day. That's living a kingdom life. You know, if you have a following the Lord, if you have made a decision to follow him, to believe in him, to love him, and to serve him, you know, kingdom is where you are. Because he says that I am in you, and I am in the Father. The Father is in me. So if he's in us, where we are is kingdom. And it doesn't feel like it at times. Doesn't feel like kingdom at times. But we must never lose the fact is that where we are, and we are believing in Jesus, that where we are, that's where the kingdom is. You know, the Jews are looking for the kingdom. We talked about it on the Bible, the word, the seal of the word. Jews are forever looking for the kingdom to come. The kingdom has come when Jesus came. And the kingdom hasn't gone away. It just lives in us. Where we're at, that's where kingdom is. You know, and when we're operating and reaching out and touching people's lives with the message of Jesus and reaching out to touch those that need healing and those that are sick and all of these things that we do. And yes, they don't always happen in front of our eyes, but we are living kingdom lives. We are believing and reaching out to touch people. And this is what living a kingdom life is. And from the start to the end of the Lord's earthly ministry, Jesus lived a life that was full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. From his baptism by his cousin John at the start of those 3 years of ministry. And Dr. George always says, you know, Jesus had 30 years of preparation for 3 years of ministry. You know, and maybe that's you. Maybe you've been preparing for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Maybe you've had many years of preparation. And maybe your ministry is only going to be a little time. But that little time, he wants you to live it as kingdom people, reaching out with the kingdom authority that he gives us to reach out and touch people's lives. I wanted to come and amongst you this morning, but I can't because I've got to stay by here. I'm under orders that we're recording through the desk. For a specific purpose this morning, I had a letter, and I'm sure he's going to hear this, and now he's linked in with us. Our dear friend Paul Lubbock, who many of you will know, Paul, I had a letter from him. A while back, a few weeks ago, drastic. Paul's got bone cancer, and he's had it now for, well, he had his first occurrence in the year 2000. He had 10 years of remission, and it came back with a vengeance. And the last 3 or 4 years, he has really struggled. And when I saw his last letter, which was a letter sent to me just after the Palm Sunday weekend, when he wrote to me and he said, basically, my Prayseed version of his long email to me was, I feel that last Sunday was my last Sunday I would ever spend in church. Because he went to his little church in the UK, and he had to be taken home before the end of the service because he was so ill. And he said, I just feel that's probably my last time I will be in church. Oh, I do miss Wellspring. I do miss the people. He said, I watched the Easter services on the television. And he said, it just wasn't the same. There was no spirit there. There was nothing obvious. I just long to be with you, long to hear. You know, could you not just record some of the songs so I can just really
be blessed. I just want to just sense that like I'm among you, among my old friends here in Spain. That was sort of the gist of Paul's. Quite sad. I read it, I wept, and I thought, you know, to see this man who did some amazing things while he was here, and just everybody looks on him with fondness, you know, and how he was able to sort of just in this gentle way. It's such a, you know, everybody will know him when I say the gentleman Paul, because he was just such a gentleman. Gentle in every sense of the word. But yet how this man who when he heard he met a Dutch couple on the campsite in Bolnuevo that they got friendly with, and when they heard that this one of this couple had got cancer, you know, he just basically went straight to Holland, literally, and he led this man and his wife to the Lord like that. He just felt so compelled to go and to do this. But now he's in that similar state where, you know, that, but he knows the Lord, but it's so hard to live a kingdom life when you're sort of just underneath the cosh of sickness in this way. So hard to continue and to motivate yourself to pray and to all these things. And he said, I've ordered some iTunes songs of worship. You know, maybe, just maybe I can, you know, it'll do something in my heart. I just want to read you a letter I had from him a few days ago. Really bless me. Because this morning I'm talking about not just the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, I'm speaking about the fullness of what God has for you and for me. Listen to what Paul says. Dear Andrew and Wendy, in an effort to enter heartfelt worship, I decided that I would purchase a triple album from iTunes. It contained many songs I knew, plus many that were new to me. I need to take off in extravagant praise. I call it soaring. But the truth is, I have not found a way in. I'm hoping that the recording of this Sunday's worship will be just what I need. And that's what we've done. Hopefully, it will have worked this morning. Anyway, I was listening to my new acquisition when one of the songs, Faithful One, started playing. And within seconds, I was off. The words were just what I needed to say to my Jesus. You're my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the answer. My hope is in you alone. I paused the music at that point and spent 3 or 4 minutes worshipping in tongues, and I haven't done that for years. What a glorious, victorious experience it was, and I hope it has blessed you too. Certainly has. It's blessed me. You know, the Holy Spirit makes a difference in our worship. The Holy Spirit makes a difference in everything that we do as we try to live this kingdom life that God calls us to live. You see, from that awesome account in Matthew of Jesus coming up out of the water after being baptized, and it says the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, and it was just, you can just imagine it. I can imagine being there. Can you this morning? Can you imagine being there and seeing this, and then to him to hear Father saying, this is my beloved son. I love you so much, son. I'm so pleased with you that you're following, that you're doing. You know, just wonderful. You know, what he experienced there with the Holy Spirit, Jesus that day, it took him through temptation, danger, betrayal, death and resurrection. Went through him all the way. What he received that day, straight away, after this, when we read it in Matthew, so it took him up into the desert place, the lonely place where he was tempted by the devil. It was almost like God was just checking his heart. And I've heard different accounts of that as well. I won't go into that this morning. But just the fact, I wanted just to concentrate this morning your hearts on the fact is that at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was empowered by Father to do everything that he wanted him to do. It would take him through all of those things, all those awful things. In fact, all and more of life's situations than we will ever experience, he experienced. And it's so graphically put a few weeks ago when Duncan talked about the cup, the other cup, not that cup, but the cup of suffering that he would take on our behalf. Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit to help him minister to people, to give them the strength to go through all he went through to save my life. And if he needed it, then how much more do I need it? How much more do we all need that empowering of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do all the things he has called us to do? And as we've read there in Acts, that lovely description that Peter sums up in two verses there, all that Jesus did. All that Jesus did. And after he'd finished, it says, the Holy Spirit. You know, and there was, again, was new Christians being birthed, full of the Holy Spirit. And people stand around in amazement. This wasn't the Pentecost. This wasn't Acts 2. This is Acts 10. And it's still going on. People are still being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why I know that the Holy Spirit just wasn't for the apostles, but it was for everybody who will believe, everybody who will follow him. Jesus operated in the complete fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God calls us to live kingdom lives. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, living a kingdom life is so difficult sometimes to live. You know, it's so impossible that way. We fall away, we burn out trying to do things in our own strength. I recently read these words, and it says, we can work for God without any special empowerment. We cannot work with him apart from the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. We can work for God without any special empowerment, but we cannot work with him apart from the Holy Spirit. Matthew 6, verse 9 is the model prayer. We spoke about this on School of the Word on Friday. You know, and as I read through the book of Matthew and listened to it being read to me, which I found really helpful, I encourage you, if you've not let the Bible be read to you, let it be read to you. And it's amazing what happens. It's just, as Pat said on Friday, it soaks into your heart. Don't feel it, but it's happening. It's soaking into your heart. It's like these people who go to bed with a tape on. My mum, when she was really, really ill before she died, we played a song the other week that Josh played on his flute, Private Moments it was called. And she wore this tape out, my mother did, but she used to have it on her little headset, and she used to sleep at night with this flute music going over and over and over again. You know, songs of victory, you know that was going in. And it's amazing that how she soaked all that God had for her just through music. Whatever draws you close to the Lord, I'm saying, whatever enables you to live a kingdom life, then just draw on that. Whatever resource that you have available, and God has made available to every one of us all the resources that we will ever need to live kingdom lives. I don't care what your age is today. As I said, maybe you've had 50 or 60 years of preparation. Now is the time. Now is the time. Don't miss the opportunity when God calls you to be ready to do, ready to be. And it may only be winning one soul for Jesus. That's enough. As Martin Gill said this morning, if only, you know, we're doing what God calls us to, if only we're there, if only we're being that witness. Whoever, you know, we're sowing seeds all the time. And when I read this Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, we call it, the model prayer, it may say in your Bible. It's this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say. And I thought, as I read it through, I thought, like, how often, you know, do we use this prayer, but do we think about really what it says? You know, same as things are so, you know, we know so many things. We can recite, I can recite a Welsh poem to you till this morning. I ain't got a clue what it says. I know every word off by heart. Dachu mama do a fenna gamvawen, a rupithama fido, a fiskerama fen, a vrukarabaidi, a feriama. I haven't got a clue what I'm talking to you about. And I'm not speaking in tongues, but maybe I'm speaking with a Welsh tongue this morning. But I was taught that at the age of 5, and it's never ever left me. It's never left me. You know, sometimes we carry stuff and we don't know. The resources are there, and they may be buried. We need to let the resources come out of us. Like, you know, and but yes, one day maybe I'll ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what that thing is. I think it's about a cat. Somebody told me, speaks a bit of Welsh, it's about a cat. You know, but there you go. I learned it at school, but it was there. But you know, but I can say that. But what does it mean? We say the Lord's Prayer. What does it mean? What is God asking us to do? And there in those verses we read those words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we asking God for? Your kingdom come. Yes, Jesus was there. He was the one teaching them. And he taught them to use this prayer. You know, I just God dropped something in my spirit and said, you know, if you were to use this prayer, Andrew, every day, in every circumstance, you know, just those couple of lines, use it. Use that. Recognize him, our Father. Recognize my dad in heaven. Hallowed. You're blessed. I love you, Lord. Recognize who he is. Then your kingdom come in my life. In whoever I meet today, whoever I talk to today, whatever opportunity I'll get today. God, your kingdom be done in me, that I can be speaking and touching and reaching out. You know, the difference my life would be if everything I did was your kingdom come. Lord, be in this conversation. Lord, be in this thing that you call me to do. Lord, as I walk out today, give me opportunity, Father, to be somebody who just speaks out your kingdom. Words that will bless, words that will touch other people's lives. And this really, really spoke to my heart. And so often, because we know something by heart, it doesn't mean to say it's in our heart. We can recite it. We know it, but do we know it? Do we know what it's saying? And this is a revelation after all of these years of being a Christian. You know, suddenly those words from the Lord's Prayer come out of the whole different meaning to me. Lord, your kingdom come in me today. You know, what a different life I'd lead. Perhaps I would think differently. Perhaps I would do things differently. Perhaps I would do things I should do that I don't do. And don't do things that I should. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say this morning. But kingdom people living kingdom lives. And that God calls you all to do that. Every one of you who loves Jesus, who follows Jesus, he calls us all to live kingdom lives. Amazing. Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? What are all these things? What are we looking for? Are we looking for all these things first before we seek his kingdom? Have we got it back to front? Are we wanting all of these things? And he says, no, seek my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things. When you read the verses prior to that, they're talking about, you know, why worry? Why toil? Why do this? Why do that? You know, God loves you. He'll give everything for you. Don't you know how valuable you are? Those are the sort of the words, my version of the words that were said. Then he says, you know, all of these things, your clothes, your food, you know, why are you worrying about those things? Seek first my kingdom. Seek first to live a life with me. It's coursing through your veins, coursing through your heart, your voice, your experience. With how much different is it going to be? Why worry about tomorrow? Let tomorrow worry about itself. Today is the day of salvation. And it's just amazing, you know. But don't we worry? Worry about our clothes. How many people are going to come to church? How many people like the Facebook page? How many people like this? How many people like that? Oh, I said, don't worry about those things. Seek first my kingdom. Seek my face. Love me. Glorify my name. And then all these other things will be yours. All these things that you worry about and concerned about. Yeah, am I not be enough for those things? To give you those things? Have I not promised you I will never leave you or forsake you? Maybe we're just waiting for heaven. I've met Christians who are waiting for heaven. It's not a bad thing, I suppose, to wait for when we love Jesus. You know, but that's when the kingdom's going to come. Wrong. The kingdom has already come. We are living in kingdom time. Real time, right now. Some people are missing out on so much God has for them because they're waiting for that day when they will be with him in glory. No, that's wrong. You know, we need to be living kingdom lives now. Now is the time. The kingdom life started in you the day that you committed your life to Him. The day that you decided to follow Him. Kingdom life came. Lord, forgive us for waiting for heaven. It'll come soon enough. It really will. Let's do today those things He's called us to do. Let's start living exciting new lives in Christ. I don't care whether you've known Him for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Today can be the start of a new life in Christ. A realization of living kingdom lives. Kingdom lives with the kingdom authority to live those lives. With the kingdom power to live those lives. No. You step out in faith, you'll find that God will empower you to do what He's called you to do. Make sure it's what He's called you to do. But when you do it, you will find that He will be there to help you through it. I found that we read through that. Even in the Old Testament, you read through what the amazing people like Moses, when he led them out. You know, it was only when he stepped out and did things that things happened. Trust. Praise God. What kingdom are we living in? Are we living in an old dying one, or we're living in an ever new one, day by day, new, ever new? What gospel message have we listened to? The gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of heaven when we die? And Duncan says it so often, you know, steak on a plate while we wait. That's what I want, that's what we want. But so often we're just living for heaven when we die. I'm safe, you know, I'm safe. And some of the old hymns were really quite dreadful. Some of the things that the expressions they used in them, you know, just struggling, hold on till He comes for me, and all that sort of stuff. You know, I don't want to struggle on till He comes for me. I want when I go, I want to be going out gloriously. You know, I don't want to be going just struggling through. I want to be going out gloriously. You know, and I encourage you, every one of you this morning, to have the heart to, God, whatever You want of me, whatever You want me to do, let me do it. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, let me work in that power. Give me that kingdom authority to do these things You call me to do. I want to go out with all guns blazing. If I was a cowboy, you know, I wouldn't have just two sets of guns. I'd have my rifles and the stuff with me and everything. I'd have backup in the chuck wagon as well. More bullets to fire. You know, I'm just prepared. But being prepared is living a kingdom life. You know, I'm preparing myself for heaven. Preparing myself. I don't wait till I get there and then experience all its wonderfulness. Don't get me wrong, I'm not slating heaven this morning. Heaven is a glorious place. But there's so much more glorious yet to come before heaven comes. And if we're not careful, we're going to blink and we're going to miss it. I'm talking to myself as well. Where is His kingdom? As I said, His kingdom is where He is. And if He is in us, then it's where we are. I can't emphasize this more today. His kingdom is in us. So when we came to Christ, and those of us have been baptized, and if you haven't been baptized in water, I want you to seriously consider being baptized in water. You know, the symbolicness of being baptized, we are buried in His death that He did for us, and we are raised up in His glory. You know, we can only be raised up in one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Raised up in Him, His life. It's symbolic. We're saying that now I belong to Jesus. I know June's going to be baptized soon, and we look forward to that day. It's going to be a day of rejoicing down on the beach with her. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you need to be baptized. Let the world know I belong to Jesus. Follow Him through the waters of baptism. His kingdom is where you are, and what you do, you're His representative here on earth. We represent His kingdom wherever we go. Jesus told His disciples that many would not understand the meaning of His parables. Strange, isn't it, that Jesus would teach in parables, but know that so many would not understand. But He said, you are a privileged bunch, because My Father will reveal to you the meaning. You will know what it is I'm talking to you about. God will reveal His heart to them through the Holy Spirit. A lot of the parables Jesus taught will start with these words: the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It is like that. This is what it is. But when we have no Holy Spirit, we have no revelation. And he was saying to his disciples, Father, you will know, you will understand these things I'm talking about. Dare I ask the question today, are we listening to parables? Are we learning the secrets of the kingdom? Secrets of the kingdom, I believe, so often come when we reach out and step out to do something for him. And when we're at the end of our tether, the end of our rope, he comes in and he just takes over and he takes us through. Then we know it's not us, that it's him that's doing it. It's so wonderful. A wonderful sense in your spirit, that is, when you know that it's not me, it's God. Because I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this by myself. But with him, all things are possible. Luke 11:13 says, if you then being evil, or being the humans, being the people that we are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, the Holy Spirit is better than any good gift. Whatever you can imagine is the best gift. Maybe it's a Ferrari. Ah, Ferrari. Holy Spirit. I take Holy Spirit any day over Ferraris. You know, I take Holy Spirit any day over all the stuff that the world has. Because it's only temporal. It's only here for a minute. It's only here till the first rust spot comes. My Ferrari. It's only here till I can't afford to pay the insurance or put petrol in it anymore. The Holy Spirit is always there for me. You know, where are we placing our futures? In kingdom things or things that are temporary? God gives us amazing good gifts. At the end of Matthew's gospel, we have Jesus commissioning his followers. After he's risen from the dead, here from the tomb, and he appeared to his followers there. And we read this in the end of Matthew's gospel, the very last chapter, and we have Jesus saying to his followers, go and make disciples of all nations. Go now. And then we have the beginning of Acts. And then Acts verses 4 and 5, and Luke writes these words: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Or in my version, don't do anything until you've received everything I have for you, because you're going to need it to do the things I've called you to do. And there was them in the end of one book, he's saying, go and make disciples. And the start of Acts, hold it. Don't do anything till I fill you with everything I have for you. There's nothing going to be spared, but I'm going to give you everything you need if you'll receive it from me. And that's what he's saying there. Don't do anything till you receive. And then we all know what happened at Acts 2. Holy Spirit came and all of a sudden 3,000 were added to the church. And then we read that reading at the beginning of my message this morning. And saw people getting saved. Saw people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I wonder what those lives went out and did afterwards. And what the people they touched and whatever. You know, there's so many unknowns in the scriptures, and there unknown things that happened that we'll never know about. Maybe one day. You know, and every day can be a battleground. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in us. A few people already know, as you shared a bit this morning, I had a drastic telephone call on Friday from a lady who was asking about the church. I'm not going to go into too much details, but you are looking at a charlatan this morning. You're looking at an imposter. And you're looking at somebody who's going to be reported to the British Embassy. And will get me struck off. I don't know what I'm going to be struck off from. And this lady only asked, you know, your service is at 11 o'clock. I said, yeah, that's fine. And then when she asked me where I was ordained, and I couldn't remember the nearest town to Caerphilly on the Welsh borders where it was, and she basically ripped me apart. And she said, you're worse than the Mormons, you're worse than the Jehovah's Witnesses, you are. And this, all this stuff piled up. And I know it was an attack against me. attack against the church, and I haven't got a clue who this person is. Wouldn't give me her name. You know, she wanted me to tell her that I was ordained in Westminster Cathedral or something. That would have been okay. And I tried to say, well, it's only a piece of paper. You know, it's what my heart is. It's where Jesus is. You know, and then the spiritual battle started, and I sensed a change over the telephone. I said, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 14, and she said to me, I've always had Jesus in my heart. And I knew I was dealing with something that was, you know, and very quickly then the conversation ended. But you see, but when he said, you gave her time to say lots of things to you, but that's my heart. I don't cut people off. I don't, you know, but I listened and whatever. And sometimes I'm my worst enemy for doing that. And maybe some would put it down, but that's my heart. I don't want to let anybody go. But everything I said made it worse. It just went. I've never experienced a conversation in my life. I've dealt with builders and trench diggers, Pete. all my working life. You know, the cups of tea where they say, would you like a cup of tea? And they empty it out, wipe the fingers around the rim and pour you a new cup in there. It's been used perhaps 15 times before. Those are the people I dealt with. You know, but I've never experienced in my spirit what I experienced on Friday. That was somebody who I wanted to say, don't come to our church, you'll wreck it. but I couldn't. But you see, that's kingdom, that's Jesus. He never, you know, he said what was right and everything, but she never gave me put the phone down before I chanced to do that. But I believe the kingdom life that he's put within me, recognized spirit to spirit, there was something that was drastically wrong. But my heart was still, oh, if only we could have reached out to her. If only she could come to know Jesus, and all the bitterness and all the stuff could go. You know, every day is a battleground. Every day we don't know what's going to happen next, but oh, if you're working, living fully kingdom lives, then you'll know in your heart by the Holy Spirit what's going on, and how precious that is to have that knowledge inside of us. You know, are we only, and with this last couple of things I'm going to wrap up this morning, are we only asking God to give us just enough to survive? Or are we saying, God, I want everything from you this morning. I want to receive everything you have for me. Everything you have for me. I just want to read you something in closing. Something I read. It's really blessed me. If I can get this electronic thing to work. I'll never forget my first trip to Peru. It's not me, I've not been to Peru. As a rich North American, I had travelled the world previously. I had stayed at the finest hotels, soaked up the sun on privately owned beaches, manicured by Marriott and Hilton. This trip was different. I'd gone to Peru to talk about the kingdom of God. I lived among the people of Lima and worked with them each day. We stayed in a modest hotel, ate our meals with newly found Peruvian friends in local restaurants. We encountered Peruvian believers who owned but a single pair of shoes and perhaps just one Bible. This is nothing new. Countless North Americans have had their world rocked when they discover the economic needs of others around the world. But I caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God on the very last night of the trip. Our translators had been with us for 10 days. We had spent more time with them than anyone else in Peru. As we waited for a midnight plane to take us home, we invited our translators to one last meal together. We chatted like old friends and basked in the romance of a very short visit. Then it was time to head for the airport. Our translators, three young Peruvians, hailed a couple of taxis, negotiated the price with the cabbies. As they turned to say their final goodbyes, a revelation swept over the North American team. We were going home. All of our Peruvian money would be worthless in a few hours. There was only one sensible solution. Give it away. The taxi drivers watched while we emptied our pockets, shoveling money and tears towards people we barely knew. We all searched for every coin, each paper, bill, whatever might be of benefit to our new friends. If someone was watching from the sidewalk, it made no sense. There was an awkward and mad scramble to give it all away. There was no accounting. There was no instructions. No strings attached. As employees, they had already been paid in full. Now the affections of our hearts and our imminent departure commanded a different kind of transaction. That night, we began to understand radical generosity. We were living a parable. What if your money's no good where you're going? The old rules no longer apply. New priorities become urgent. The way you see the world has changed. Others may call you foolish, but you don't care because your values have changed. When we are living kingdom lives, our values change. Somehow, the things that were important before are no longer important. The important thing is that Jesus is Lord of all. He is number one. Let's pray this morning. Fathers, I look upon these sea of faces this morning. Lord, I just pray for everyone, and myself included this morning, and those that are not here with us today, that Lord, as a church, Father, we will be full of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, if we sense that we need a touch from you, then may we just seek, Father, your kingdom. May we seek, Father. You say, I'll give my Holy Spirit to anybody who asks. Father, help us to be people who ask. Oh God, I pray that, Father, out from this church will rise kingdom people with your kingdom authority. Father, to be about your business. To see, Father, this area of Spain changed. The gospel of Jesus, that the love, your love will be spread far and wide in this nation because of what you birth in us. And maybe something today, Father, has touched our hearts. Lord, I pray that we will not let you go until you bless us. That you will not let you, we'll not let you go until we have everything that is at our disposal. And I thank you this morning, everything is, that you've held nothing back. Lord, we love you. We bless you, and we ask you to go with us. Help us to be those kingdom people that you've made us to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen.